When Psalm 94 was written, God's people faced evildoers who killed even widows and orphans. Yet the psalmist wrote, "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul." Remembering who the Lord is often comforts troubled hearts. We can find great comfort in His past kindnesses, in Sunday sermon, in good counsel, and in Scripture. For more encouragement, read Calming an Anxious Heart on thestand.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great Friday morning. Wanted to read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Now, I thought about that phrase, making the most of your time. All the news has been on the first week of President Donald J. Trump's inauguration on Monday, and all that he's done. People marvel, even people that hate him, have to step back and marvel at how much he has accomplished in 1 week being president. And we've talked on this program that guy, for a 78-year-old guy, he has energy that most people at 58 don't have. And he is one of those guys because of his personality. You know, he's a type A driver, choleric guy. I know a lot of people like that. They tend to be business owners and builders, and they get lots of things done. They don't let the grass grow under their feet. They're not in the least bit lazy. They see things that need to be done, and then they go and do it. And so Donald Trump sees a lot that needs to be fixed in the United States of America. That's the platform he ran on, Make America Great Again. And that is what he is trying to do, America first, and doing things for the country to make things better for the masses. Now, I saw a video clip that somebody posted. I guess it was from yesterday or the day before, but Trump was just talking very openly, very candidly about what he inherited from Joe Biden, the damage that has been done in the last 4 years of the Biden administration, and what he is doing and is going to do to rectify this situation. Listen to this clip.
My administration is acting with unprecedented speed to fix the disasters we've inherited from a totally inept group of people and to solve every single crisis facing our country. This begins with confronting the economic chaos caused by the failed policies of the last administration. Over the past 4 years, our government racked up $8 trillion in wasteful deficit spending and inflicted nation-wrecking energy restrictions, crippling regulations, and hidden taxes like never before. The result is the worst inflation crisis in modern history and sky-high interest rates for our citizens and even throughout the world. Food prices and the price of almost every other thing known to mankind went through the roof. President Biden totally lost control of what was going on in our country, but in particular with our high inflation economy and at our border. Because of these ruinous policies, total government spending this year is $1.5 trillion higher than was projected to occur when I left office just 4 years ago. Likewise, the cost of servicing the debt is more than 230% higher than was projected in 2020. The inflation rate we are inheriting remains 50% higher than the historic target. It was the highest inflation probably in the history of our country. That's why from the moment I took office, I've taken rapid action to reverse each and every one of these radical left policies that created this calamity, in particular with immigration, crime, and inflation. On day one, I signed an executive order directing every member of my cabinet to marshal all powers at their disposal to defeat inflation and reduce the cost of daily life. I imposed a federal hiring freeze, a federal regulation freeze, a foreign aid freeze, and I created the new Department of Government Efficiency. I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Deal. I call it the Green New Scam. Withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord and ended the insane and costly electric vehicle mandate. We're going to let people buy the car they want to buy. I declared a national energy emergency, and that's so important, national energy emergency to unlock the liquid gold under our feet and pave the way for rapid approvals of new energy infrastructure. The United States has the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth, and we're going to use it. Not only will this reduce the cost of virtually all goods and services, it'll make the United States a manufacturing superpower and the world capital of artificial intelligence and crypto.
Well, that was Donald Trump talking about what he plans to do, what he is doing. And as I said, he doesn't let the grass grow under his feet. He is a hardworking guy, and love him or hate him, you have to tip your hat and say that's pretty impressive. I mean, especially, you know, you follow Joe Biden, who, like in The Wizard of Oz, we get up at 12 and start to work at 1, take an hour for lunch, and then at 2 we're done. I mean, he just wasn't able to do much of anything. Surely wasn't able to meet with the press, and Trump's already done quite a few interviews. Now, one of the things that Trump did that has really gotten people all upset on the left is he pardoned the J6ers, and 1,500 or so pardons that came to those people, and people are up in arms. I saw Jim Acosta, you know, he's all upset about this, and I thought Trump was supposed to be the friend of the blue, and these people are violent and violent protesters and all that. Well, perhaps you've seen the video of people just being led into the Capitol building. It's almost like an invitation, walking with the police officers there. They're not doing anything. They're just kind of strolling in. These people get arrested and treated like terrible, horrible criminals and put in prison. I talked to one lady just this week who told me that she had a friend whose husband, he was a Marine and he was a police officer for, I think, 20 years or something like that in New York City. Well, he was involved in the January 6th situation. He got arrested. He didn't attack anybody, but he got arrested and got 10 years in prison for what his involvement on January 6th. Now, I think most of us believe that January 6th was a contrived deal from our own government, from the FBI and others, and Nancy Pelosi was in on it, and others were in on it, so it was an entrapment situation for many, many people. But here's the thing that I don't understand is those people got arrested, and those people were punished for their crimes. Those people were put in prison. How long do the Jake Tappers and the Jim Acostas of this world want them to rot in prison? I mean, when you have the BLM Antifa protesters that were burning down cities and destroying all kinds of property, so many of those, I heard a statistic says 95% of those never did 30 minutes in incarceration. So this, the gross inequity here just blows my mind. And so I have no problem with freeing these people who most of them did nothing. I mean, they shouldn't have crossed over. They shouldn't even invited in. They shouldn't have gone in. Hindsight's always 20/20. But here's what Trump, when he sat down with Sean Hannity, had to say about that situation.
So you did run on a platform. You were very straightforward. You said you would pardon these people that were sentenced for January 6th.
Yeah, totally.
You did. The only criticism or pushback I've seen is about people that were convicted or involved in incidents where they were violent with police. Why did they get a pardon?
A number of reasons. Number one, they were in there for 3.5 years, a long time.
Right.
And in many solitary confinement, treated like nobody's ever been treated so badly. They were treated like the worst criminals in history. And you know what they were there for? They were protesting the vote because they knew the election was rigged and they were protesting the vote. And that you should be allowed to protest a vote. You should be allowed to. You know, when the day comes...
You shouldn't be able to invade the Capitol.
No, ready? Most of the people were absolutely innocent. Okay, but forgetting all about that, these people have served horribly a long time. It would be very, very cumbersome to go and look. You know how many people we're talking about? 1,500 people. Almost all of them should not have happened. And the other thing is this, some of those people with the police, true, but they were very minor incidents, okay? You know, they get built up by that couple of fake guys that are on CNN all the time.
Nobody watches.
They were very minor incidents, and it was time. You have murderers in Philadelphia. You have murderers in Los Angeles that don't even get any time. They don't even collect them, and they know they're there to be collected. And then they go on television and act holier than thou about this one or that one. You had 1,500 people that suffered. That's a lot of people. You know, they were looking for new people 2 weeks ago. They were looking, wait a minute, they were looking
more to people.
Charge new people. They have a woman who's 76 years old that they said made a statement that was a little bit out of line years after the fact. This was a political hoax.
A political hoax. So he pardoned those people and folks on the left. Now, all of a sudden, this is what's so surprising. Now, all of a sudden, the Jim Acostas and the Jake Tappers and the others, the ladies on The View, now they care about law and order. You know, if a conservative does something that they think is over the line, boy, they get all upset. But if a liberal does it, well, it's just that's the way it's going to be. As Kamala Harris said, it's not going to stop. This is a movement. When the leftists were burning down the country, this is a movement. There ought to be more. Nancy Pelosi said there ought to be more of these. I'm surprised there aren't be all these riots all across the country in response to President Trump and at that time the George Floyd situation. You know, that sparked all the disasters that and all the riots that came about Seattle and other major cities. So Trump released those people, pardoned those people, and that was a good thing. They did pay for their crimes, and many of them, the crimes were so minor. And, you know, it's what we've been saying on this program this week, as I talked to Rick Scarborough and as I talked to others. Lady Justice has to get her blindfold back on. Under the Biden administration, Lady Justice took her blindfold off, and it was a two-tier justice system, and it was lawfare and going after your political enemies. And if you were on the side of the left, well, you might have committed crimes worthy of a flogging, but you got a slap on the wrist. And if you were on the right, you might have not committed any crimes, but you were going to get investigated. You were going to be guilty until proven innocent type of attitude. Just goes against everything our country has been founded on. Well, the other big pardon, perhaps you heard, is Donald Trump pardoned the 23 people who were imprisoned for blocking access to Planned Parenthood clinics. And it says former President Donald Trump issued pardons for 23 people convicted under the FACE Act for obstructing access to abortion clinics. Among those pardoned is Beverly Williams, who was imprisoned for praying outside an abortion facility. The pardons were granted on the eve of the March for Life rally in Washington. addressing convictions made under the Biden administration. This action underscores a significant moment in the ongoing debate over First Amendment rights and protest actions related to abortion access. And I watched the video of Beverly Williams being released and coming home to her family, her little child and her husband, and it was very, very sweet. But everybody knows that has any kind of sense of right and wrong that to imprison people who are praying outside of an abortion clinic is a violation of our First Amendment rights. It's not how the country was founded. Abortion is murder. And praise God for those people who stand in the gap to try and save those little babies' lives. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're evaluating the first week of Donald Trump's presidency. And we will open the phone lines in the second segment. I'd love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. So give me a call and let's talk.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're looking at the first week of Trump's presidency. As Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, making the most of your time because the days are evil, making the most of the time. And Trump is definitely making the most of his time in this first week. He has moved at the speed of light, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, and just done all these executive orders and reversing the disastrous policies of the Biden administration, and working overtime to make America great again, working for the people. He went to North Carolina yesterday or today. He's in North Carolina viewing firsthand the damage from the hurricane and trying to help those dear people that, as in Trump's words, that the government just left behind. And, you know, FEMA was not much help at all, if any help at all. That seemed to be an impediment to the people trying to help, actually give help. But Trump sees FEMA as very ineffective, and he's wanting to change that. And the government, you know, here's what Trump sees in my mind, and obviously Elon Musk. How can you do things effectively and efficiently? That's key. And government has been known for, you know, so many years as just inefficient. And so people don't have the same kind of sense of responsibility, so many, when they work a government job. Oh, it's just the government, and the idea that the government has this bottomless pit of money. And so if we spend more than we should, who really cares, because it's the government. Now, outside business doesn't think like that, because they have to make a profit, otherwise they go out of business. The government doesn't have to make a profit. They just keep increasing your taxes, or just going in the hole more and more and more. You know, you can't keep going in the hole without a consequence to that. I mean, we all know that in our personal lives. You can't keep charging and charging and charging and charging, because eventually you can't pay the interest on your debt. And eventually you're going to go broke. And when you go broke, well, then what do you have? So Trump is trying to reverse things, and obviously it's climbing Mount Everest. That's a tall order. It's a big challenge, and in my mind, he has done a lot of great things in 1 week. Now, my friend Tom Buck, who's a pastor in the Tyler, Lindale, right around Tyler, he posted this on X, and Tom is, he's not known for his subtlety. I appreciate Tom Buck. He said this: who would have imagined that the United States government would abandon its DEI agenda, diversity, equity, and inclusion, before SBC institutions like Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary? What a question. I'm a graduate. I got my, I went to Southeastern Seminary when Dr. Paige Patterson was president there in the 90s. I was there for a year until I moved back to Houston to go on staff at Champion Forest Baptist Church, and finished up my Master of Divinity degree at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, but I got my doctorate from Southeastern, and in 2013, 2014, something like that. And so that is the school that I spent much time studying, but that school has, in the minds of many conservatives, has drifted to the left, and especially the policies of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So when Tom says, you know, the federal government gets it, Trump gets it before the head of the school gets it, the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And so it is pretty surprising. And, you know, I think it was Alex McFarland, when I listened to him this week, he was on Jenna Ellis's program. You know, he said, hey, pastors, he called out pastors. He said, hey, pastors, you guys need to stand up. We need to stand up and speak the truth in love. And if people don't like it, well, that's their business. But our job is to be faithful. You know, as Paul told Timothy, the last chapter that he ever penned before he got his head cut off, he said, and I'm going to pull it up so I get it word for word, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. I mean, he sets the stage for this solemn charge. This is in the presence of God. This is in the presence of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, you know, he's the one who is going to judge. The Father, as Jesus said, the Father judges no man, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And when we see the judge of all the earth, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, judging the unbelievers, that's Jesus. God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent, Acts chapter 17, for he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So the solemn charge from the Apostle Paul, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, the judge of all the earth, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. It's so sad when we see churches and seminaries following the way of the world and the fads of this world and jumping on the bandwagon, whatever is popular. So when the BLM movement was so popular, they were jumping on that bandwagon. And hey, I need to show that I'm in solidarity with those who are being marginalized and, you know, brutalized, and Black Lives Matter. Oh, of course Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. And we go back to the foundation of Martin Luther King's dream. I don't think it's any coincidence that Trump was inaugurated on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And his dream that my four little children would not be judged on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. Well, DEI does away with that. DEI is not concerned about merit. DEI is not concerned about the content of one's character. It's concerned about the color of one's skin and quotas and all those things. And so Trump said no more of that. The other thing Trump did that I really liked, Trump said, hey, if you work for the government, you're not going to work at home. You're going to have to come into the office. And you could just hear the screams from those who had been milking the system. Now, some people, I will say this, some people thrive working at home. My son-in-law, Travis Van Hoy, love him to death. He's a great, great man, great husband, great dad. Well, he does really well working from home because he's one of those guys that doesn't like the you know, the coffee bar interaction. He doesn't need that. He likes it when he can just put his head down, close his door, and just knock out the work. Well, there are few people like that, because lots of people, if you give them time, you know, where they can just work from home, they don't work very hard. And the you know, you don't ratchet up the professionalism when you work from home. So I applaud that he's saying, hey, everybody's got to come in And if you're going to get a paycheck, you're coming in to work, because that's the new deal. That's what we're doing now, and we are going to have a professional government, and not one that's just loosey-goosey and come in whenever you want type deal. So people don't like that, but that is important. You know, Trump had to sit through on the day he was inaugurated, or the next day, whenever it was, right in there, the service. It was on Tuesday, I'd take it back, Tuesday, the day after his inauguration, with the Episcopal priest of the National Cathedral in Washington, Marianne Buddy, and she took it upon herself. You're having a church service. She took it upon herself to single him out and tell him, you know, people are afraid, and you've produced this fear, and they're gays and transgender kids that are so afraid, and, you know, it was totally inappropriate. I mean, I would never, can you imagine, you go to church and somebody singles you out to call you out on things. As somebody pointed out, that wasn't a John the Baptist moment where he's calling out Herod, that it's unlawful for him to have his brother's wife. She's standing on the side of sinners, blatant sinners, sinners that attach sin to their personhood and says, this is who I am. She's standing on the side of the Romans 1 people who reject God's will, God's way, God's word, and say, this is the way it's going to be. And she's calling Trump out in that service. That's not what that service is for. And that's not what a church service is for. And now we do reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. But we don't do that. I don't preach to one person. I've said before, and pastors, you guys need to remember this. When you're preaching, you're not talking to an individual. You're talking to a congregation. And you're preaching things that we would put under the category, if the shoe fits, wear it. Now, you're speaking the truth in love. So you're not just blasting at people. It's the truth in love. But you're not talking one-on-one. And if this doesn't apply to you, don't apply it to you, is the way I feel in my preaching. So I never have a problem with just letting it rip, so to speak. Because it's like, hey, I'm not talking to you. Adrian Rogers said one time, somebody got mad at him about something he was preaching. And he said to her, he said, madam, I was shooting in a barrel, and it's not my fault if you were in the barrel. And that's the way we need to look at it. Hey, we're going to come against sin and unrighteousness. And if that is the issue with this, with the individual, they're holding on to some sin and some unrighteousness. Well, they're going to feel that. It's kind of funny. There's a story about a pastor, had a deacon in his church that was, he was gung-ho, and he was always amen, amen. You know, he was kind of amen corner, and when the pastor would preach and the pastor would say something, you know, that's really good, he'd say, amen, preacher, preach it. And then he got some sin in his life, and he wasn't willing to give it up, and then he quit saying amen to the preacher's preaching. Well, the preacher noticed that. And the pastor said to him, he said, hey, he said, you used to always be amening me. And he said, don't you know that saying amen to a preacher is like saying sic'em to a bulldog? He said, yes, pastor, I know that. But it's hard to say sic'em to a bulldog when he's got you by the seat of the pants. So it is one of those things we say in the congregation, amen or oh me. And the oh me is, man, you've gone from preaching to meddling. You're stepping on my toes, but that's okay. And that's a good feeling. I tell people this all the time, and they say, well, I come to church and I just feel like, it's just for me, and I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you do step on my toes. And I say, well, the scripture steps on my toes too. And we come to church not to hear feel-good sermons, not to hear somebody just make us feel okay in our sin. We come to church to realign to true north. Thus says the Lord. And the pastor is to be the herald for the king. He doesn't change what the king has decreed. He declares what the king has decreed. And we all have to search our hearts and say, hey, maybe I have some pride in me. Maybe I have holding on to some hurt, some bitterness in me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's the purpose of coming together. We spur one on to love and good deeds as we praise the Lord, as we hear his word sung, as we hear his word preached, as we're in the fellowship of the body. Well, Marianne Budde, number one, she shouldn't be leading any church. The ministry, the office of pastor is reserved for men. He's the husband of one wife, and the Bible makes that clear. So, but she's an Episcopal, and the Episcopalian Church, sad to say, has gone the way of the world. And so what she did, he had to endure that, and he did it with, I thought he did it with grace. There would have been a part of me that would just say, man, I'm out. I don't want to hear this anymore. I mean, I wouldn't have gone to that service anyway, but that has been an issue for this week, and many have called out this lady for doing what she did, because she's not standing on the side of righteousness. She's standing on the side of those who would shake their fist in the face of God. And listen, all of us are sinners. I get that. And all have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. But we need to speak the truth in love and not just go after somebody from our own personal agenda. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Mark on the line from Arkansas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. Thanks for having me. Just a couple comments on that. I mean, she kind of forgot that bearing false witness. And it's amazing. You know, God didn't say, don't lie, which he knew. I don't know if he knew that we would automatically, that was something that we absolutely could never do. But to bear false witness against someone like that is a pitiful thing. Also, she said homosexual children. It's not only homosexual children. They're little boys and little girls, male and female. And the only way they become homosexual is because the devil lets someone like that person there infect their brains with garbage.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think she was talking about transgender children. And yeah, I agree with you, Mark. There are no transgender children. They're boys and girls. And little boys and little girls don't come up with what we're seeing today, this epidemic of transgenderism. That's not coming from them. That's coming from their parents. That's coming from the culture. That's coming from media. And we're destroying lives, and we need to stand up and say no more of this. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. The number to call is 888-589-8840. So give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hope that you're enjoying today's discussion as we look at Trump's first week in office, and what a busy week. And as I said, love him or hate him, you have to admire the fact that that guy gets things done. He is a driver. When I was in sales at Nalco Chemical Company, we talked about the personalities of the person you're selling to, and the driver person, that type A person, the choleric personality. Those guys get a lot done. Those guys and ladies that are like that, that have that personality type, and you can put them in charge of things. Now, you may not like all the decisions they make, but they're going to come hard with their plan and their agenda and their program. Now, Trump said that this is what he was going to do, and he was going to, one of the things he was going to do was secure the border, and he's going to send the bad actors that have crossed over illegally, he's going to send them out of the country. I saw this article, deportation flights have begun as Trump sends strong and clear message, says the White House. And so he's already sending people back. They're rounding people up and sending them back. And the sanctuary cities, Chicago, we're going to protect these people. We're not going to let you do this. Well, is that good for America? If we're really going to be America first, is that good for America? Is that good for the citizens that you are in charge of in Chicago? No. I mean, we bring in all these people. We spend just billions of dollars in freebies for all these people. We don't do that for Americans. We do that for people who are here illegally. Now, I'm all for helping people who need to be helped. But when you're breaking the law, you're not on the side of righteousness. And, you know, we help people who can't help themselves, not people who won't help themselves, and not people who are milking the system. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Joe on the line from Ohio. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Great program this morning. A lot of great information. And I just wanted to hit on the one thing that you covered, and that was when these fake news journalists interview Trump and ask him why he pardoned the peaceful ladies and people praying outside the abortion clinics, why he pardoned the peaceful protesters from J6, he should ask them, why did they release violent criminals? You know, New York especially, California, violent criminals are being released. I think it was the criminal who killed Lincoln Riley or the 14-year-old girl. He was in police custody 7 or 8 times and released 7 or 8 times. And Trump needs to just bring attention to that. You know, why are these violent criminals being released? The guy that pushed the innocent bystander in front of the subway train and got killed, he was in police custody multiple times. Mm-hmm. Also, he could ask, why did Biden pardon, commute, and shorten the sentences of people on death row and violent criminals in prison? 3 or 4 of them were cop killers. You know, mm-hmm. So he just needs to ask them, why aren't you not covering that? But anyhow, great program. And just if Trump or his staff could bring out, hey, violent criminals are being released, why wouldn't peaceful women praying outside of abortion clinic be released? You know, especially after 3.5, 4 years, these peaceful protesters have been sitting in jail or, you know, solitary confinement. Just you know as well as I do, it's just a two-tiered system of justice. But God bless you and keep doing what you do.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. You're exactly right. And I saw a clip where a reporter came up to Marjorie Taylor Greene and was asking her about the J6ers and all that. And she threw that back in her face. And she said, why are you so concerned about that, but you have no concern about President Biden's pardons? You have no concern about the fact that these big cities have these perpetrators and violent perpetrators. And, you know, they are arrested for 24 hours and then released and set out to do more crime. You know, it seems like that CNN and MSNBC and The View and places like that should focus on that, but they don't ever focus on that. They turn a blind eye to that, and it really is repulsive. And it's exactly what you said, Joe. It's a two-tier justice system, and it's really amazing, because releasing people like that are committing these violent crimes against citizens, just people walking down the street type things. That is a great danger to the masses. And those people need to be, they need to experience swift justice and a justice that is appropriate with the crimes that they commit. We need to get those people off the street. And if they're here illegally, we need to get them out of the country. As Trump said, you know, so many countries, when it was a wide open border from the south, they were opening up their jails and saying, let's get rid of these people, send them to America, let America deal with them. Well, it's a travesty that affects lives, and Trump is saying no mas, to quote Roberto Duran. Well, we have Raul on the line from Texas. Raul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve.
Good morning.
I just commend you on your preaching. You call sin what sin is. I listened to Adrian Rogers as well, and he said nowadays it's almost a sin to call sin sin. Most pastors in churches today, I've visited several churches, and they'll talk about repentance, but talk to some of the attendees there, and they don't even know what to repent from. I mean, if they're living with someone that they're not married to, just as long as they love each other, that's not sin to them. And, it's just amazing that most people don't even know what to repent from when we talk about repentance and obedience. And I listen to you, and I listen to Adrian Rogers, and they don't mind stepping on people's toes. I mean, they're just following God's way. That's it. And I'm just saddened because I have family members and friends that think, you know, praise and worship, and make me feel good. Well, Jesus said, you worship in truth and spirit. And they don't even know what that means. So anyway, I'll just listen to your comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Raul. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's what the job of a pastor is to do. We lead the flock and we feed the flock. And what do you feed them? You feed them the Word of God. The Word of God, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we give people the whole counsel of God. As Paul said, I didn't shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And, you know, you don't just preach what you, you know, the parts that you like. You know, the Bible is not like a cafeteria where you walk through the line and you say, well, I like this, but I don't want that. I used to use the illustration of when we would go to the cafeteria here, it closed down, but it was a staple in Texarkana, Bryce's Cafeteria. And you'd go there and they'd have all these salads. And one of the salads that they would have out is a pea salad, and English peas. And I would always think to myself, who likes that? I mean, I would never get pea salad. So it's like, pea salad, I don't want that. Potato salad, I don't want that. Let me just get a regular green salad. And so you go through and you pick and you choose. That's not what you get to do with the Bible. I preached a sermon Wednesday night on Hebrews 6, one of the most difficult passages of Scripture in the Bible. And I was listening to a message from J. Vernon McGee, another straight shooter who has been with the Lord now for many decades, but his radio ministry is more popular than ever. And I listened to his sermon, and he said, you know, some guys will have a whole career, a whole ministry that spans decades and decades and decades, and they never will touch Hebrews 6. Because they just preach the things that they like to preach. That's why preaching through books of the Bible is a good way to do it as a pastor, because it requires you to look at passages and to wrestle with difficult passages and to preach those to your congregation. And people appreciate that because they know those passages are in there. And you know, it's a lot easier to preach John 3:16, let's say, than it is to preach Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. So I appreciate that, Raul. And yeah, we're commanded to do that, to speak the truth in love, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Well, we have Peter on the line from Texas. Peter, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff. I really appreciate your program and the word that you share.
Thank you, brother.
I wanted to call in and comment on something. A previous caller was mentioning all the pardons that Biden gave to certain individuals that really don't deserve pardons. And then there was a comment about the pro-life individuals who were wrongfully imprisoned by the Biden administration. Uh-huh. And I wanted to call in because I saw a clip last night where President Trump did pardon all 23 of those individuals who were wrongfully persecuted and imprisoned for standing for life and standing for truth.
Yeah. Yeah, we had talked about that. I had mentioned about Beverly Williams and seeing the video of her being reunited with her husband and her baby. And it was very, very sweet. And so we applaud people, people that are willing to stand in the gap and to pray and to do all they can peacefully. They're not accosting people. They're peacefully standing in the gap to try and get that woman caught up in a crisis pregnancy to choose life, to be arrested for that and to be imprisoned for that, for praying and for lovingly sharing with people. That doesn't make any sense at all. That's not the country that the founding fathers created when they put their heads together and developed the land we know now as America, and so the United States of America. So I appreciate that, Peter. God bless you, brother. We have Maria on the line in Indiana. Maria, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor, for taking my call. And
yes,
all I wanted to say is that all of us Americans should remain humble and fix our gaze on God, because Trump and all the people who won the election, as well as all those people who are nominated, are because of the prayers of all the hidden people who want a change in our country. So God gave us a reprieve. Let us not forget that this is a chance for us to return to the biblical foundations of our country. And we have to keep praying that we will be on course, because I feel like if we are given this chance, we have 4 years to correct ourselves, all of us, and if not, we will lose our country. And I don't mean to be to douse the parade, but I just want us to remain humble and do our part to make our nation the great nation that it is under God. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, a great, great word, Maria. I totally agree with you. I do think this is a reprieve. I think that God has, in his mercy, responded to the prayers of his people. He promises that, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And God has graced us with another opportunity. And as we've said this week on the program, you know, Trump is, my friend Gary Frazier said yesterday, Trump is not our pastor, he's our president. And we pray for him. We're commanded in Scripture to pray. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The role of government is to protect its citizens, to punish evildoers, to do what God has called them to do, to create law and order and a justice system that is fair and unbiased. And so that has all been reversed. That's all been turned upside down. And Trump, in my opinion, is trying to return us to common sense morality, to law and return us to liberty and justice for all. And so you're exactly right, Maria. And I've been saying that we need to be praying for him, because all hell is coming against him and people would love to see him dead. So pray a hedge of protection around him. Pray for God's wisdom to be upon him and pray for his heart to be soft and tender, that if, you know, he would truly bow his knee and understand that Jesus is Lord of all, and he would be, he'd just follow him with all his heart. Pray that for J.D. Vance. We want to have Trump likes godly people around him. He likes Christians praying for him. He recognizes the value of that. but that he would understand what the gospel is. I saw an interview with Trump, and you know, people that are saying that Trump is a believer. Well, Trump was saying, you know, it's how you live your life, and if you're good, then you get to heaven. Obviously, that's not how you get to heaven. So, I don't believe I've never seen anything. Any interview with Trump where he explains what the gospel is, and so I don't think he understands the gospel, but he's been an answer to prayer for many Christians because he does understand right and wrong. He does understand law and order. Yeah, he does love our country, and he is working on behalf of the masses. So, John in North Carolina, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for calling. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org, or connect on X at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. We'll go out this weekend, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.